Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
I can hardly wait to tell you and our listeners about the unusual road trip that I took this week. I had decided to meet up with the First Nation Farmer Climate Unity March when it stopped in Ames on day 3, which happened to be Labor Day. Last year, I drove to Montezuma on day 3 of the Climate Justice Unity March of 2017, a 90-mile march from Little Creek Camp near Iowa City to the climate rally of the state capitol. This year's march is even more significant because it is publicizing a landmark lawsuit on eminent domain, which will be heard before the Iowa Supreme Court on September 12th, just 4 days after the march ends on September 8th. This year's route runs from Des Moines to Fort Dodge. Regular listeners to Local Talk heard about the march and the lawsuit last week on Monday and Wednesday. On Thursday, a special hour-long Heart of Iowa program brought you powerful statements by 4 of the landowners suing the Iowa Utilities Board. With all that coverage, I was afraid my road trip would be an anticlimax. But the First Nations had not had a chance to tell their stories. I had plenty of time to interview them because the overnight stop in Ames was at Oakwood Road Church, just across the street from my apartment. So I was able to begin my trip by walking over when the crew bringing the gear drove into the parking lot around noon. Sarah Spain, one of the organizers, told me about yesterday's overnight stay in Huxley.
When we pulled into Huxley, there we got to the park where we were supposed to be, and it's a puddle. I knew it was going to work if it was nice and
still. So what happened?
So I just Googled the closest church was a block and a half away, and it's the Lutheran Church, and Norwegian Lutheran Church, and got their emergency number for the pastor, and called Pastor Eric Swanson, and he said, "What?
Yeah,
we need an emergency to get people off the road and into a dry place." So he has only been the pastor there for a couple years. So he had, I think, the congregation's like 500 people. So he said, "Well, I got to check." I said, "Why don't you come over and meet us at the park to see if you'd like to host us?
Yes.
Check us out first."
Yes.
And so he came. We got the mayor on the phone, and within 30 minutes, we had the most amazing place to stay. So we've had this kind of stuff happen.
Yes.
The whole march.
Uh-huh.
And it's been quite amazing. My job is logistic. That's my job, to worry and think. And my Indigenous friends are trying to help me not have to do that so much and still do my job good. This is our food truck.
Very colorful converted school bus is coming in with a big sign that says Veggie Thumper.
When the truck was parked, a slender young woman with colorful and striking clothes got out of the bus, which was a work of art, really. It was a converted school bus with wonderful bright paintings on it.
Hello! So, are you the cook for this whole big group?
Yep.
Awesome!
Yep, it's been pretty fun and challenging. Early mornings, 5 o'clock.
Challenging, I think, is probably an understatement,
yeah.
Right?
And everything's vegan, so.
Do you always cook out of the truck?
I don't always cook out of the truck. We're going to probably use the church kitchen. This morning we had sweet potato pancakes and red potato hash.
What's tonight?
Tonight we're doing Taco Monday. So we're going to have a pulled chicken and black bean tacos and refried beans. So I'm pretty excited.
It's vegan, but you're having chicken?
Quotations. Not chicken. It's jackfruit. It just looks like chicken. People think it's meat. I let them think that. But they figured me out now. We're making snacks right now to keep everybody fueled while we go ahead. So we stop everywhere and we have to make food for our group of 30 to 40 people. We went through 12 pounds of red beans and rice yesterday. I'm not even sure how many collard greens that was, and a whole bunch of cornbread. 2 pans of cornbread, matter of fact. So it's pretty awesome to see what the marchers can eat, and it's been a pretty fun, challenging event, and then doing all of this in the rain.
And you're looking forward to a whole week of this.
Yep, a whole week of it. What is today? Monday?
As the generator was set up and the gear was unloaded from the truck, I went back across the street to wait for the marchers to arrive. In the late afternoon, I could see that they were beginning to come in, So I walked over and walked into the main building, and there was an old friend of mine, Donnell Wannaty. Why are you here?
I'm here because I want my Iowa unified, and I want the people to be come together to fight this pipeline still. Our fight isn't done, and we still have to be worried about what this pipeline will do to our state and our communities along this route, which is Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois. So that's why I'm still in this, and that's why I'm still marching to bring awareness to this subject. It's been 4 years, and I've tried to give up a couple of times, but my sister convinced me if you talk to one person a day, that's 365 people you've talked to so far, and you've been doing that for 4 years, you know, and it's not going to be, you know, fast, but it'll take years, and it's getting there, and I think we're at the tipping point where we're going to go to a better way of making change for our environment and the people that live on this earth.
Is it special for you to be with so many people from other tribes?
Yeah, because, you know, we are the only tribe in Iowa right now, the Meskwaki people, and we understand there were indigenous people here prior to us being here, so them coming back here is a way of unifying people together for this, not just, you know, for climate change, but also the farmers, and make them aware and stand up for their rights also against eminent domain.
Have you had any special experiences on this march?
Just seeing all the people and reminding them, you know, why we're doing this, and basically to care about everybody as we're doing this. You know, sometimes we forget that we are human beings, and human beings have no boundaries really, except, you know, your own personal space. And right now we have to do this together, because a rising tide raises all ships.
As I walked out of the building, I saw a couple of men setting up a teepee. It was the traditional white canvas with long wooden poles, obviously cut from tall trees. It was a symbolic gathering place for the many tribes who were there. I talked with people from all over the country. Here is a collage of the stories I heard.
Foxy Jackson, I'm from Oakland, California. I'm here to stand with my sisters and brothers against climate change, environmental injustices. We need clean water, we need clean air, soil, we need to stop eminent domain, and I'm willing to stand with the people who are willing to stand against it also. It's my first time in Iowa, and my first time on this march, and my first time meeting all these people, and we've already all become really good friends and family. And I'm very, very happy to be here.
And what is your tribe?
My tribe are the Chichimecas, which are from Guanajuato, Mexico. And we were conquered by the Spaniards. And so that is where we get our Spanish dialect, our Spanish language from. We currently don't know our traditions or our native language. And so I'm doing research and trying to see if I can find family members that still exist out there somewhere.
Jimmy Tidwell.
Before Standing Rock, you know, I was lost in a way, you know, in my life. So this gives me, you know, some purpose, you know, doing something good and being connected with people like you guys, you know. And I think that's probably one of the most awesome things, you know, that's came into my life, you know, is being connected with people like you guys, you know.
Yeah. I like the connections we found together. Hi, I'm Kathy Burns.
Hi, Kathy.
All indigenous peoples, you know, we struggle. We have, you know, what they call, you know, generational trauma, you know, that is, for our people, you know, alcoholism, you know, suicide, those are all, you know, part of, you know, effects of generational trauma, I think. And that's something I struggle with all my life, so right up until Standing Rock, you know, I was just getting clean and sober, and just the spirit of Standing Rock, you know, and what it stood for, and the peace and prayer, and, you know, the culture, you know, and that's been something I think that was missing in my life, you know, because for someone who's trying to stay sober, I think series of events that happened in my life, you know, that led me here, you know, and this gives me something, you know, to I guess to be proud of, you know. helping our people.
Yes. And all people.
Yes, all people, yes. Because it's not just a Native issue. It's an everybody issue.
But people who aren't Native need to recognize that it's their issue together. That's why this First Nation Farmer March is so important. It's First Nation Farmer Unity Climate March.
Right. And that's
climate unity.
That's what I was telling Kathy a little while ago. You know, I am sympathetic, you know, to these landowners, you know, because something else, you know, I've learned over the years too is our history and how the West was won and how our land was lost. And now, you know, you see that same type of injustice happening, you know, to these landowners, you know, for what they call a public utility, you know, that does not benefit anybody. You know, we're taking all the risk. These landowners are taking all the risk, you know, for this this oil to be shipped overseas, and that's sad to see.
I've been appreciating Jimmy's and Millie's and all of our Indigenous brothers and sisters' perspectives on the fact that we are, we quote landowners, and I did own land on the pipeline route originally, that it's stolen land, and despite that, everyone has been sympathetic to those landowners and gracious about the fact that we're all fighting this together, and at the same time reminding us there's no, this land is your land, this land is our land, it's stolen land. But because your empathy is overriding your indignance, you are joining together gracefully with us in this fight. And it's such a beautiful thing.
Well, I was wondering when I saw the list of marchers and I saw how many different peoples were represented, somebody from Alaska, somebody from, and I there were only two Meskwaki, and the rest are all from other tribes. And I thought, I wondered if there would be
more Meskwaki?
No. Well, what I wondered was that if people were coming so that they could bond with other Native peoples.
They came because Christine asked them.
Yeah, well,
a lot of them. I didn't know who asked
Christine.
You. Christine asked you to come.
Yeah.
Christine is the director of Indigenous Iowa and the founder of that, and she has been so important to make sure that we have come together in a positive way.
I believe you are one of the organizers of this march, is that right?
Yes, I am. I am the Indigenous organizer on this march. And I'm Plains Cree Salto from the George Gordon First Nation, and I grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and I've been living in Iowa for 12 years now. I founded Indigenous Iowa because I saw a real need for a larger Indigenous voice in Iowa, because this state was cleared out pretty viciously, and there's not a lot of Indigenous people living outside of like the Meskwaki settlement or outside of Sioux City that are being heard, you know. And I just felt that this was a really colonized state, both biologically, culturally, socially, and physically, you know, in terms of genocide and removal and assimilation, that it was important to start raising awareness and bringing a presence like to like what people would call like not Indian country, you know, like where there's not a lot of Indigenous people like residing. But that's not to say that like there's not a really strong presence within the Meskwaki settlement nation and Sioux City, but they're small as well. And so I just want to be standing side by side with them and working in solidarity with them and, you know, doing what we can to like move forward past this like this colonial system that's really broken us down and hurt us tremendously.
Did you come to Little Creek from Standing Rock?
No, I founded Little Creek. I guess you could say I came to it from Standing Rock, but I live here. So I wanted to continue to fight the pipeline. I didn't think the fight was over because there was still construction going on in Iowa at the time. And also we had the court case coming up, and so I just felt it was necessary to bring more attention to the fact that we still had a fighting chance to beat this corporate conglomerate that has basically privatized the profit but socialized the risk for the people.
Were you instrumental in bringing the First Nation Farmer Climate Unity March together?
Yes. Ed and I talked some time ago about founding, you know, like something akin to the Indian Cowboy Alliance that started a while ago but is dissolved at this point. And we just said, you know, like with climate change, the people that we need to listen to the most are Indigenous people and the farmers. They are really connected to the land in a way that a lot of people are not. Even though farmers are mostly settler descendants and have colonized land that's been taken from Indigenous people, at this point, we need to work in unity and in solidarity because we are literally burning up, and like we need to find some sort of unity to stop what's going on at this right now.
My name's Lakasha. That's short for Lakasha Yoko Lakipt, and in the Nez Perce language that has a rough translation to touches lightning. So that's where my name comes from. However, on paper, due to federal recognition, I am enrolled in the Cayuse Nation from Pendleton, Oregon. To add to that, my bloodline derives from Chugach, Alaska, along with Wasco in Central Oregon, and Nez Perce and Cayuse, of course, and then Klamath from Southern Oregon and Yaqui from Arizona.
So how did you get here?
Funny story. So I was out at Standing Rock in 2016 from the end of August, early September to February during the eviction. I was contacted to help transport supplies to Little Creek Camp. I'm sure some of us may be familiar with that. And so I transported supplies down here to establish Little Creek. But the funny thing was, though, at Standing Rock, a lot of people would ask me where I come from. And as you may remember from my bloodline, I told people I come from Iowa, but it was on an acronymical level, right? It was Idaho, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. I never thought that I would end up in Iowa transporting supplies for an additional camp to resist the DAPL pipeline. And I came down here. I've been fortunate to experience the black squirrels, the fireflies, cardinals, very beautiful. And the humidity, you know, out of I put it in the top three. I spoke of a winter in a teepee and Standing Rock. That was, you know, an extreme. A summer in Iraq, okay, and then humidity of Iowa, and those are my three extremes there.
How did you get to spend your summer in Iraq?
I joined the United States Marine Corps at a young age, and I was augmented to the 11th MEU Marine Corps Marine Expeditionary Unit, and went over in 2004 and came back in 2005. Thankfully.
So you've had quite a bit of life experience thus far.
Yeah, definitely. It's been very hard to difficult and actually wrap my head around the whole thing. I think joining the military, I seen a way out from the average reservation conditions for a male. And to put it plainly, I had a better chance at surviving in Iraq than on a reservation, a Native American reservation here in the United States. Fortunately, I was able to come home and... But with that, it was very difficult, and I still deal with it today because ultimately I feel as if I was colonizing Iraq under the orders of the United States. And it's very, very hard for me as an indigenous person of this continent to come to an acceptance of that. And you know, even with that, like being at Standing Rock, to watch our own military come in on us again.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.